Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to
the Simcast.
This is episode 2 of the newly branded Simcast. I am Ben Williams, as always, and joining me, you already heard his voice, Mr. Louis Satterley.
Hello!
Hello. We've already made it almost 30 seconds into the show, and we have not said the name of the formal name of the show yet.
Alright, we're gonna have the change jar.
This is, of course, the Simcast, where we do still occasionally talk about sim racing news.
Speaking of occasionally talking about sim racing news, so my dad texted me a couple days ago. Currently, he is inside of the track at Daytona, so which is where I will be almost immediately after the show here. Actually, about an hour after the show here.
Notice how Louis just casually flexes that he'll be at Daytona this weekend.
Oh, that's not a casual flex, sir. That is a hardcore look at this. I would say 22-inch python, but it's more like 22-centimeter python of my arm flexing here. So, yeah, about that. Anyway, so a couple days ago, Kevin Magnussen's out for his usual evening jog, runs right by my dad's campsite, and hollers at him just to say hey and be a nuisance fan, as usual. And apparently the day after, we have a banner for our campsite that Kevin's dad had signed when Kevin was about 5. And my dad has a picture of Kevin signing said banner right underneath his dad's signature. Which I think is pretty cool. And dad relayed that story towards him.
Yeah. Where else do you hear stories like that? Wholesome family stories like that here.
Yeah, it's my dad and it's Kevin talking about Kevin's dad.
Casually mentioning. Anyway, we do actually do have some sim racing news to go over on tonight's program, and we actually have a Toro test track. Yes, we're still calling it that. Special for everyone since it is Daytona week.
Woohoo!
Yes, Louis has cooked up something quite special for us.
Yes, it's going to be one of the rare lap comparisons, but it's going to be a little bit of everything that you could possibly think of. So
yes, and hopefully, if I pull it off, we'll actually have sound and vision.
Ooh, sound and vision.
Yes.
We're
maxing out my production abilities here, ladies and gentlemen.
Williams has sound and vision.
Yes.
Smithers!
Oh, no. The Simcast. Anyway. yes, just so we're clear, everyone here at the show got a huge kick out of that, just as much as everyone else did on the internet.
Oh, yes, that was wonderful.
Yes.
As soon as we saw that, and you mentioned that we had to play it up, that's why it's like, oh yeah, every Simpsons reference is coming out now.
Okay. It's going to be a long show.
It will be!
So, starting with...
Going to drive everybody nuts.
Short trip. Starting with our sim racing news, we have actually got some teaser images for the new Dakar 21 game that's going to be coming out later this year. We haven't seen much from this developer. It's a developer out of Portugal called Big Moon Studios. We have not heard much from them since the original Dakar was released back in September 2018. But they seem to be getting things in line for the new game. There's only really 3-4 images that were released. All look very nice. Something that we're going to be paying attention to. I have not been a person who typically plays the Dakar games, but apparently, if I remember correctly, they announced recently that the developers who did Snow Runners and Mud Runners is actually going to be working on a game similar to these as well in the next couple of years. Actually, I think it might be the Dakar license. Let me check on that real quick.
Okay. Well, on my comments on it, first thing that really pops out to me is the first teaser image that we get is instantly Rebellion Racing's car, which I'm a huge Rebellion fan, so that just instantly sold me on that one. Looking down at other images of it, having played, I believe it was the first one, but I didn't really touch any of the other ones. Actually, I don't know if there was other ones, to be honest. I believe the first one was just Dakar. The graphics are a huge upgrade from what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the gameplay is going to be that way as well, because it was very spotty, kind of like what ACC is now for the consoles. Everybody's complaining about the frame rate. Yeah. It was very much like that, even on the PC version, for me anyway. But these are looking substantially better, and the graphics are way, way better as well. So I'm actually genuinely excited for this, because I haven't heard too much about it, and then next thing I know, you're pulling up on a show that we got teaser shots of it, and
yeah,
so they open up, and I had to pipe down my voice as soon as I saw the Rebellion and not squeal like a little girl.
They were just released yesterday, actually.
Oh, okay.
So, very much fresh off the presses.
Excellent.
Yes. I'm trying to remember.
And here's the other thing that drives me nuts about this, actually. Mm-hmm. They are advertising the game as Dakar 21, right? But you look at the official event decals that are on these cars, and they all say 2020.
Well, it's kind of like you have NFL 2021, and it's the 2020 season.
Yeah, I know. And it drives me nuts. It really does.
It's the all-new 2012 Ford Focus, released in 2011.
Well, that kind of makes sense, because it comes out towards the end of the year. True. This is coming out at the beginning of the year, and we're using last year's decals.
Mm-hmm. Well, think of it
crazy.
This way. It took Codemasters how many months to update all the F1 cars with their
Remind me.
Yeah. Something like that takes time.
Yeah, it does. It does. Anyway, it's a small gripe, but mm-hmm. it's a gripe nonetheless.
If we're going to be real pedantic about that, though, remember that Dakar actually didn't take place in Dakar this year?
Oh, the last 2 years?
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, it's all been Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And actually, years before that, it all happened down in South America.
Yeah. Thank you, coronavirus, for yet again causing issues.
I was going to say, I don't blame the coronavirus on this one. I just wish the terrorists would stop kidnapping racers so we can go back from Perry to Dakar.
Anyway, moving on quickly before Lewis gets off the air. NASCAR and iRacing announced earlier this week that they are going to be bringing back the eNASCAR iRacing Pro Invitational Series. Yes, it is a mouthful. Yes, I think it doesn't need to be that long, but, you know, gotta get all the buzzwords in there. they announced today that the Pro Invitational will be a 10-race schedule that will complement NASCAR's real-life racing schedule, offering fans a new midweek competition for those who can't wait 7 days for NASCAR racing, featuring NASCAR's top drivers. This will be broadcast on Fox Sports. First five races will be live primetime on FS1, and NBC Sports will actually be broadcasting the last five. Details for that.
And what that converts over for our European friends, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Channel-wise, I do not know. I'm sorry to say.
I mean, not that I'm advocating for this, but there may be maybe a Twitch stream of this somewhere, potentially.
Yeah.
I would assume, though, since that's kind of what they did with the Pro Invitational this
year. Yeah.
Well, not this year, last year. I'm still thinking in 2020.
Oh, my goodness. You see what round one is?
Oh, yes, round one. Bristol on dirt, which means...
Yes.
Which means, ladies and gentlemen, that iRacing has confirmed that we will be getting a dirt version of Bristol later this year.
Yeah. Which I'm really looking forward to see the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars race on that again, actually.
Yeah, that's going to be always entertaining, as always.
I was going to say, the all-time track record around there, actually, I think is still held by a World of Outlaw Sprint Car. Back in the early 2000s, whenever they first did the experimentation with dirt on the track.
Yeah.
In one of the sprints, I think they did a lap in about 10 seconds.
I'll take your word for it, honestly.
Something like that. Yeah. Something crazy fast.
The Bristol Dirt Race will be on Wednesday, March 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Talladega follows that pretty much a month later, on Wednesday, the April the 21st. Darlington then on May 5th, COTA on May 19th, which of the ones that I'm particularly, that are on this list so far, I'm particularly excited for COTA, just because I always love watching stock cars on a street course. I don't know why, or on a, you know what I mean.
Well, for them, it's kind of like a street course. That's a real twisty-turny circuit.
It's a very twisty-turny circuit.
And those big, heavy cars that have a lot of body roll don't like a lot of S's, which you're going to get a lot of. Because I remember back in the 90s, even watching them go around Sears Point, they used to have to tiptoe through the S's all the time. Now they kind of handle it pretty good, but
I mean,
these ones are a little bit tighter.
I've driven the, not the current stock car, a couple versions ago, stock car COTA before, and it's not bad, honestly, as long as you can figure out what your braking points are.
It's not bad, but at the same time, you want to hustle the car through there much faster than what it can do.
Yeah. Maybe
so it's a patience game.
Maybe the 2022 spec car is going to be probably... Actually, no. The car for 2022 is probably going to be faster there than the current cars.
I believe so, because by the looks of it, they're kind of making that an all-purpose car.
It's basically a V8 supercar without a wing.
Yeah, that's what it's really looking like to me, and sounding like, too.
I mean, I'm not complaining about this.
Oh, no, neither am I.
From that, but it's definitely going to be a... If you... We're completely off-topic, semi. But if you want my opinion, I kind of like the direction NASCAR is going in, kind of making it less about ovals and a little bit more about, like, maybe we should do things so the rest of the world takes us seriously. Anyway.
Well, you want the rest of the world to take you seriously. Don't do gimmicky stage racing.
He said it, not me.
I'm off the soapbox.
Even though I agree with him. Running out the calendar that they released this week is a track I've never heard of. It's Track to Be Determined. Not to say I'm familiar with that one.
I was going to say Track to Be Determined. I mean, I've heard of Driver TBD, which he gets a lot of rides.
He does. He gets more rides than I do, that's for certain.
He gets a lot of rides, and then he gets kicked out right at the last minute. It's a poor guy. He can never seem to get a break. He's always get him initially, but he just can't fully get in there.
He's right there until the end, and then some hotshot shows up and checks him out.
Excuse me. That's me taking a long slip out of my drink.
Yep. Doing it live. Granted, NASCAR and iRacing have, 6 months to figure that out, because that race won't be until June 2nd.
No, that's less than 6 months, really.
Well,
calendar wise,
yeah. But let's face it, if 2021 is anything like 2020, that could feel like a year from now.
Okay, let's not get into that.
No,
let's
not.
Giving me flashbacks.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have much information more than that. All NASCAR and iRacing really said is that the more information will be available at a later date. So be on the lookout for that.
Tomorrow's a later date.
Tomorrow's a later date.
Yeah.
Today would have been a later date from when they published this last. Actually, yesterday. Yesterday morning.
Yeah.
A lot of news broke yesterday. It's kind of fun. Yes. Moving right along. Now for something completely different. We're going to talk about the F1 esports again, since Matt and Jordan talked about it a lot last week. It was announced earlier this week that reigning F1 esports champion, Otmar? Okay. Has moved from Alfa Romeo, which team he was with last season, to now joining the Mercedes-AMG Petronas Esports team for 2021. This is the second huge signing after we saw Brandon Lee, former tour racer, by the way, vacating this space of the Mercedes team to go to the Ferrari Driver Academy Esports team, which pretty much, as Matt and Jordan discussed last week, stacked that team to a pretty high degree. Mercedes also announced that they're going to be bringing in Danny Morano from the McLaren Shadow Program, who was certifiably the Rookie of the Year last year by many people's money. The F1 teams have started to take this championship much more seriously after 2020.
I was going to say, it was weird describing that. It sounded an awful lot like a regular silly season, and everybody's still in the same series, for that matter, which is not something you normally hear about whenever it comes to esports, per se.
Yeah. Especially since esports, for the most part, up until this year, was still, like, not really taken that seriously. I remember hearing stories from the couple of the FRC guys, the Forza Racing Championship guys, how much of a joke their contracts were, where it was like, well, if you win, we're gonna actually gonna take, you know, 30% of the winnings, and if you don't win, then we're gonna take all of it, something along those lines.
Yeah, that
probably
was
probably not that extreme, but it's still like there were teams who weren't paid for the money that they earned. Definitely.
Yeah.
Just leaving that out there, but
which that's a whole new can of worms.
Yeah,
to open
that,
up
that's a whole itself. That's a whole show in and of itself.
Yeah, let's not get into that one.
Yeah, let's not get into that one. So the question now with the F1 esports stuff is that who is going to be filling this open seat on the Alfa Romeo team and the McLaren Shadow team? There have been a couple of names that have been thrown out there, but nothing has been, you know, announced as of what I'm seeing right now. It's definitely something to be on the look for. Remember that the Virtual Grand Prix does return this Sunday, January 31st. Something to look out for. The five lap race was to determine the grid for the feature race, and then the whole host of superstars from motorsports and beyond will compete. So expect a couple of sim racer influencers, particularly Chud Dwellers, to probably be in that race.
Excellent.
Yes. And for those who are keeping track, yes, 2021 has become officially the year that we get Jim Broadband on this show.
Hashtag Mission Broadband.
Yes. Jimmy, if you're listening, we'll try to get Andy to say, please no Ponzerino Jimmer.
Okay, so now the question is, if we do get Jimmy on the show, which show does he go on, the UK or the American version?
I guess we'll have to find out.
This is going to be an internal competition, I think.
Yes.
Break out
the rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. Or we turn it out to a collective vote.
Ooh.
Let the collective decide our fate.
Yes. Speaking of
but it has to happen first.
Yeah. Speaking of the collective.
Yes.
Something that Jordan posted on there. Some news that came out earlier this week. Fnatic has announced that they will be partnering with the SRO and the GT World Challenge to produce a new sim racing series with a twist.
Well, it's not really a sim racing series, though, Ben.
It is not. It's a twist.
I'll let you explain the whole thing for those who haven't heard it before. I give my 2 cents.
Yeah. One of the upper guys at Fnatic wrote, we've all seen the real-world pro drivers compete in sim racing, but it's always been for fun, for charity, for practice, or for bragging rights. But what if sim racing events kind of towards a real-world endurance or a real-world championship? Well, that's what they've proposed. As part of this Fnatic GT World Challenge is that drivers will actually be earning championships for their respective championships they race win, but in the virtual world. It's the first time that this has really happened, where the sim racing will be directly influencing the outcome of a real world championship. There'll be a 5-round championship, GT World Challenge Endurance Cup, and the total 24 hours of Spa will be hosted on ACC. No surprise there. The official video game of the Fnatic GT World Challenge powered by AWS. Again, with the really long series names. Both pro and silver teams will nominate one actual driver to participate in a virtual race which awards championship points. The official rules and regulations will be announced at a later date. There's that later date again. According to Fnatic, increase the importance of sim racers for race teams in the future. We will rarely see a race driver who is not training at a simulator at home. It's definitely a different strategy, I think. They will be well, here's the probably the more part of this news. Basically, Fanatec just confirmed that ACC will eventually be getting the new BMW GT3. Which, I mean, we kind of all suspected that, but we didn't know when we'd be getting it.
Right. So initially, one of our...
Yeah, go ahead and do your thoughts.
I was going to say, initially, one of our... read about it, I didn't entirely know how to feel about it, but now, the more I keep thinking about it, the more I think this is not the greatest idea. Don't get me wrong, I give them full credit for trying to do something different, and it's definitely out there. It, from my perspective, I mean, this is the equivalent of getting world championship points for doing a club-level event. I mean, not to say that sim racing shouldn't be taken seriously, but for a real-life comparison, that's exactly what it's like.
I was going to say, are you equivaling sim racing with grassroots motorsports in general, or club? Okay.
Yeah, for club level racing.
I see that discussion.
I mean, yeah, it's to me, that's just what it seems like. And if you ask me, it's the wrong thing to do. And since when in the history of ever have you scored points for a single championship using two different forms of racing? In reality. I mean, I give them full credit for trying to do something different, and it definitely is different, but I don't think it should, or one should affect the other, in my opinion. It's either one thing or the other.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you on this, even though, you know, as even when this was the prior show and now with the new Simcast show, one of the driving things is that we want to... increase the relevance and the popularity of sim racing on a worldwide scale, but this one is a little bit too much of a stretch just because of the differences between sim racing and real world racing. Real world racing, there's a lot more. Well, let me put it this way. They both forms of racing involves their own different sets of challenges. While in the real world, where you have to worry about the car overheating or like the little bolt from another car coming off and flattening your tire, in the sim world, where you don't really have those things, you have to worry about your computer overheating. Or your wheel overheating, or, you know, a pet or a small human in your home coming over and turning
on. Or your wheel failing altogether is what we saw with Paginot at the Le Mans 24-hour virtual.
Yeah, that too. Didn't he do like an entire rig change?
Yeah, he did a rig change right there in the middle of his stint.
Yeah, I remember watching that.
Which was impressive.
Yeah. You can have all kinds of hardware failures as well as having a animal... or a small human who lives in your home turning off your equipment for you.
Yeah, and then there's that.
Yeah, then there's that.
Or somebody whose girlfriend or wife is really upset that they are spending that much time on a video game simulator, and you might hear them in the background getting yelled at.
Mm.
Hilarious when it's not you.
Yes, hilarious when it's not you. We've both experienced both of the examples that we just shared. I was racing with someone where they literally disappeared, came back 5 minutes later. Hey, y'all, sorry, my cat turned off my Xbox.
I think I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. I've shared that story with you before.
Almost spot on accent, too.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, goodness. Anyways.
Things that that sim racers have to worry about and the things that real world racers have to worry about aren't really congruent. I saw a couple of comments in the collective about what happens if the leader loses connection or his computer crashes. Then, to some degree, it's the same as if you have like a massive mechanical failure at the track or something along those lines. But they aren't really that equivalent because in sim racing, if that happens, if it's something like ACC or iRacing, you can get back on the track almost as quick as you can, basically, if you disconnect from the lobby. Not so much if you, like, ruin your car. unless there's fast repairs enabled for iRacing's
right
case.
And some aspects, sim racing actually has a little bit more than real life racing that can potentially set you back, but not so much knock you out.
Yeah. And then
and you can simulate engine overheating and you can simulate engine failures. But like you said, if you have, depending on how you have your settings set up, even if you have an engine failure, you just come back on the next stint and you're good to go.
Or a controller failure.
Or a controller failure, yeah.
I've had a controller failure before in the middle of a race.
I mean, literally the only thing that's going to knock you yourself out of a race is if your PC goes bang.
Or your console decides to commit die.
As yes.
I've heard it put before.
Commit die, that's good.
Commit die, yes. So I pretty much everyone in the collective that I saw pretty much agrees with us that it is just a little bit of a step too far. As Steve Wilkinson had pointed out, that F4 did something similar to this last year, but
yeah, but Fnatic's going to claim it because F4 didn't claim it.
Yes. Well, F4, I think F4, the difference is that F4 was out of necessity, not necessarily.
Yeah.
As a gimmick.
Yeah. If you ask me, word for this. They did last year with their Sim Race League with what GT World Challenge did, is that they had what they call, or if anybody remembers it, they had a pro lineup or a pro series, a pro AM series, and an AM series, which. Basically, the pros were literally the real-life racers. They had their own category, and they raced in the pro class. The pro-am was all the professional sim racers, and the ams were just people, the casual racers like me and you, Ben, that had our own championship to worry about. And you asked me, that was absolutely great. They should have just left it strictly as that and not touched that at all.
Now that I'm rereading this press release from Fanatec about this, so it... I'm not sure how this is going to work anyway, because during all five rounds of the GT World Challenge Europe Endurance Cup and the 24 Hours of Spa, if there's going to be separate esports races will be hosted using, is that going to be like during the race? Is that going to be like a week before or after the race?
Yeah, I was trying to, it sounded like during the 24 Hours of Spa that at one point, one driver from each team has to go into a garage and hop on a simulator and do a race during the 24-hour race.
Yeah.
They're making it sound.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's just the word thing that they chose to use or if that's actually what they're going to do.
Yeah, I think it could have been the way that it was worded, but to me, that doesn't make any sense because in between stints, a driver needs to go debrief with the team, defrag his brain, get a massage, get a bite to eat, grab a nap if it's in the middle of the night, and then wake up and go do it again.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. What happens if you schedule a certain driver and the way that the problems fell with your particular car, that particular driver that you nominate to go out there and do that race, if it does happen during the race, is currently out on track and he can't participate. What do you do?
Or are they hiring a separate esports driver just to do that competition during the race?
Well, like you mentioned in the press release earlier, each team has to nominate an esports driver and a professional driver for each race. How does it work?
Not sure.
Anyways, I'm sure more questions will get clarified on it, and I'm sure we'll find out more answers as it gets closer. But to me, it's too gimmicky, and I don't like it. But that's just me, and I give them full credit for trying something different, because it could end up being something really great or something absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it's definitely, with the teams having to nominate an actual driver, it's definitely going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely nice to see the collective kind of share our general opinion about this. Like Andrew Fletcher, I love sim racing, I love motorsports. The two are different for reasons that make both brilliant. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, moving on from that. We do have a up-to-date log of the week this week. this time we're going to Race Room with with version 0.9.2.23. So, of course, you can look it up on the internet to see the full list of stuff. It's a 1.2 gigabyte update, which is a pretty sizable update.
That's huge.
Yeah. For those who aren't familiar with like how the size of typical games are, something like Assetto Corsa for the console is, if I remember correctly, 8 gigabytes. So that's literally
such a big update. Actually, I'm looking at the changelog here. There's really not that a whole lot that they've done in here, maybe. Mm-hmm. Although I can see where it could be, because if you see fixed west layout of pit lane for Suzuka, okay, that could be quite a large code. So that makes sense.
Or for Hockenheim, where they moved the leaderboard spawn location further back.
Yeah, leaderboard spawn location.
Yeah. Okay. General car fixes. The Audi R8 LMS GT3 Evo adjusted the idle revs to prevent occasionally stalling. Yeah.
Here's probably the big one right here. On the BMW M4 GT4, increased rear suspension travel by 10 millimeters.
Wow.
Dampers tuned for better handling over bumps.
Wow.
That one is probably the large code there.
Yeah. Or, if I'm reading this correctly, you have two physics updates for all of the WTCC cars and the WTCR cars. If I'm reading that correctly.
Added adjustable engine. Oh my god, actually there is quite a few large codes in here.
Yeah. My particular favorite between those two is WTCR. Improvements to the initial grip of fresh tires and help reduce tire pressure to... Wait. I read that wrong.
To help reduce the tire pressure increase.
Over longer stints.
Yeah.
So, you are welcome to go look that kind of information up. Again, it's boring, really. Unless you care about this.
This game a try at some point. I keep reading about it, but I still yet to go do it.
Race Room's the one that has a more of a ridiculous subscription model than iRacing, which is saying something. Just because...
As it meaning it costs a heck of a lot more to go race?
Yes.
Oh, now I see why I don't do it.
Yeah. Let me look. The game itself is free. They had a free weekend a couple months ago.
But it's all online, isn't it?
But it's pretty much all... there's some offline stuff on it too.
Not much though, is there?
No.
Yeah, okay. No. But for someone like me, that now I see why I don't use it.
Yeah. I already have one subscription-based sim racing thing that I already put a lot of money into, which, you know, has teething troubles from time to time. So,
yeah. I think we're going to have to hash out that argument, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Speaking of which, what's it called? Talk about the iRacing Daytona troubles.
Trouble, sir?
I use troubles as a selective to be nice term. If you want to share your opinion first, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, actually, I've had some people that had shared their comments, and I don't want to get in trouble for saying them. There's nothing vulgar said about them or anything. Let me see if I can find where I had those saved. Go ahead with what you were going to say there.
Okay. So the background to all of this was that this past weekend was the iRacing's 24 Hours of Daytona. The event that they usually run around the date of the IRL in real life Daytona 24. But this one was especially special for a couple of reasons. First of all, it was the first time that they were not going to be using the Corvette DP that they've had on the service for basically forever. They're also going to be featuring a fresh field of GT3 cars, and this was also going to be the first major endurance that they've had after the huge boom in popularity during lockdown and COVID. which resulted in 8,000 people signing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought Toro's 300 or so was impressive. It is for Forza, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
So with the 8,000 people signed up for this race, you can imagine that it caused some server issues. And by caused server issues, I mean the servers went down completely.
So I found the comment that's pretty much going to sum up the whole thing. Now, these are not my words. I'm not going to mention whose words they are.
I am ready with the bleep if I need to.
No, there's no foul language in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just simply somebody's input on what has happened in the past, apparently, regarding this particular issue. So here's what the actual thing is. I've been in your position before, so I'm sympathetic. But honestly, respectfully, you guys need to get it together. You're posting in the off-topic forums and Twitter and Facebook instead of putting a notice in huge text on your website and dropping an announcement in the beta UI. So basically, there was nothing going across the actual server or any messages being relayed to anybody. They're just going on their forums.
Oh.
Yeah. Apologizing isn't good enough. This has happened before and you need to do better. You are failing at bare minimum level of customer service. This refers to the $5 credit that they gave everybody, which, in all honesty, if anybody has picked up a copy of iRacing, $5 doesn't get you anything on iRacing.
It does not get you anything.
It doesn't get you a car. It does not get you a track. It does not even get you a subscription.
It gets you one of the older cars.
One of the older cars. Okay, more than likely, at this point, if you've been playing iRacing, you already have it.
Probably. I think the aforementioned DP was like $3.99 or something like that.
Yeah. So, there's more to this comment. What's even more frustrating is that you can't even characterize the problem. It is abundantly clear that your team have no idea what's going on. If they did, this would have been solved after Le Mans last year. There are many people using the service who work on large-scale internet infrastructure problems absolutely baffled at how you can consistently fail at trivial problems of scale. So something tells me that these people already knew what was going on, but iRacing didn't and had no idea to fix it. They knew exactly what the thing was. The last sentence is, hire some engineers who actually have experience working on these problems, engage your provider, looks like AWS, to help you best leverage their technology. Mm-hmm. And that comes from a very disgruntled participant. Whether that individual ended up participating or not, I do not know. But in those comments, by the sounds of it, this is an ongoing problem that has been going on with iRacing, and they still have not issued it.
I'm just going to say this number again, because I think it's probably important for this story. 8,000.
Well, we were talking to Jordan, who did or was going to participate in it, I think.
He did participate in it for about an hour when his car was purposely taken out by a competitor.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I didn't fully hear his whole story on what happened there.
Yeah, but, waiting
on his stint to start, they said he had mentioned that there was 8,000 people who were going. At one point, it dropped down to 7,000. And I think it ended up being far less than that who ended up actually taking the green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there were also teams like Jordan's that once they got racing and then race stuff happened. And that's just purely a blanket term for everything that can go wrong and will go wrong during a race. When that happened, then they feel like even more disgruntled towards the service because of waiting for so long and then having it end so quickly.
But at the same time, those people that are super aggressive, they're frustrated because they haven't had to race whenever they were ready to race.
Yeah.
And how long after the initial race start did they actually start it?
I think it was something.
It was over 4 hours.
Yeah, it was 4 to 5 hours.
Yeah, which is a ridiculous amount of time in reality.
Again, 8,000.
Yeah. Like what was mentioned in that individual's comment who I read, they couldn't even identify the problem. So I don't even think they even knew where to look to solve it.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those, I think it might be one of those cases of when everything breaks, you don't know where to start trying to fix it.
Right.
Like, if your dam gets washed away, what do you do to fix it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking to see if I can find some results for this race as well.
I know our good friend Satellite Racing, I know they ended up winning their split in their lobby.
Yeah.
And I believe that was split, I want to say 5. I could be wrong on that. More likely, I am wrong.
Yeah.
So congrats issued out there to those guys.
Yeah. I'm looking through Splint 1 results right now. It seems like P1 was a team of Williams Esports and Minova Racing, very similar to the group that won the 24 Hours of Le Mans Virtual last year. Second place was you'll love this car. Fernando Alonso, Rubens Barrichello. That was second place.
Alonso and Barrichello. Nice.
Yeah. And third place was... Actually, the third place is not on... Oh, wait. Where'd it go? I'm seeing a bunch of different other finishers now. But anyway... So yeah, there weren't.
First and second apparently were the only ones that mattered.
Apparently,
out of 8,000.
Out of 8,000. Well, it's always that, like, what's the top split one guys are doing? It's always feels like it gets more of a spotlight than anything else. Meanwhile, you have like a couple thousand viewers watching the iRacing stream, and you have like 10,000 plus on Jimmy's.
Which way to go on Jimmy on what you did in the meantime. You went and played RuneScape.
Oh, yeah.
That was absolutely brilliant.
That was very entertaining.
That was great.
Yeah. So, anyway, I keep trying to... Jordan's race ended pretty quickly because there was a lap one incident where a car turned into the car that Jordan's teammate was driving at the time. And then about an hour later, when Jordan was driving, the driver saw that car again, thought that it's the one that wrecked him, and promptly put Jordan into NASCAR Turn 3 wall. So, yeah.
Which, it's a 24-hour race. Why do you got to get revenge like that?
Yeah.
So early.
Apparently, the car was completely
toast. Why do you got to get revenge altogether?
Yeah. The car was completely toast, and they actually had to pull out because of it.
That's unfortunate.
Which added to their anger, and I'm sure as the Toro Radio Show listeners who remember Christian Gomez, he has now uninstalled iRacing as a result.
Jordan has uninstalled iRacing.
Christian has.
Oh, Christian has.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Jordan has still... Well, Jordan tried to do the IMSA race at Daytona. I think it was on Tuesday. He actually got wrecked in that one, too.
Jeez. Poor guy.
Yeah. If it wasn't for bad luck, you would have no luck at all.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, there's a reason why Jordan always says that I'm going to try not to die in this car, because he gets killed in a virtual car all the time.
Yeah, he's almost as bad as I am. But anyway, so iRacing clearly has some things need to work out before their next event, which I believe is Sebring, which is the week
they
after.
They need to get working on it, because... If that same issue pops up again, I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of people just walk away from iRacing altogether.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate considering how popular they've become over the last
months. If their Le Mans event was Fool Me Once, and then this event is Fool Me Twice, and if that happens again, 3 times.
Yep. All right. So that about does it for the Sim News this week. So it's time for the Toro Test Track.
Yeah!
Yeah. So, Lou, what do you got special for us?
So we're going to go with, out of all the major motor, or we're going to go with the major motor racing events that happened around Daytona International Speedway road course last year. So we're going to test drive Chase Elliott's car, that he won the road course race at NASCAR. We're going to run the BMW M8, the defending 24 Hours of Daytona winner. And we're going to run a Cadillac DPI, which was most recent DLC that was made available on R Factor 2. Wayne Taylor Racing on that one, because they are defending overall winners. And looking towards the future of emerging, we're going to run, well, it's not because we don't have a futuristic car, but we do have from, who was that modding group? Global Endurance Modding, there we go. They have just released a Ginetta LMP1 car, which we're going to blast around Daytona Speedway and kind of do a lap comparison.
Sounds quite loud.
Sounds loud and fun and quick.
Yeah. All right, so without further ado, shall we get started?
Let's do it. Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Tour Test Track on the Simcast Radio Show on RadioLeMans.com. We're, as you can hear in the background, we're doing this one on the fly for the comparison laps, and we are currently in Chase Elliott's NASCAR, going down the back straight at Daytona International Speedway, fourth gear. And we're going to go ahead and get hard onto the brakes here, and we're going to do some comparison lap times for you here today. Folks, tiptoe through the bus stop. I'm going in completely blind with this particular car. I literally only downloaded it about 15 minutes ago. So now here we are up onto NASCAR 3 and 4. And we are not going to be doing the chicane that is coming out of NASCAR 3 and 4. We're just going to go straight through and see what kind of top speed we can get right away. Fourth gear, as you can see, 187.89. Across the start-finish line, hard braking at 190 miles an hour going into turn one. Long brake zone here. Drop it down to first gear, tiptoe. Feet onto the throttle coming out of turn one. Feel it really plant down nicely there. Going through turn two, which is the quick left-right. Hard on the brakes here once again as we come into the International Horseshoe. Down to first gear once again. Just feed onto that throttle lever so slightly, that way you don't get the rear end to step out. Hard on the throttle once again as we come out to the dogleg. Through the kink, cannot go full throttle through there. Used some of that curb, got a little bit of grass there as we decelerate into the west horseshoe here. First gear once again, feed on the throttle. Go ahead and get onto it a little bit there. Use a little bit of that curb that's on the outside there. Hard on the brakes once again from third gear. Down to first as we get out, going to the NASCAR 1 and 2. A little bit of a short shift there to ease the transition going up onto the banking now. See what we can get for top speed heading into the bus stop before heavy braking there. Fourth gear, there's the number 2 signboard. Hard braking there, feel it. Try to get a little bit uneasy there. Planted real nicely as we got lower there. Down into second gear. Did not see a top speed before we got there, but here we are back onto the banking, NASCAR 3 and 4. Let you enjoy some of that sound that is coming out of the V8 of this machine. See what kind of a lap time we get as we cross the start-finish line. Here we are coming in to cross it now with a 148.677. As we're going to go ahead and pass it on to me, behind me, in a BMW M8. Yeah, thank you to myself for passing it off to me in a BMW M8 as we come up to the tri-oval and your defending Rolex 24 winner in the GT category. Crossing the start-finish line 170 miles an hour as we are braking in a dance on the transition there. With the heavy brake in second gear as opposed to first gear for turn one for this particular car. A lot more grip, not as much top speed. Hard braking as we come to the International Horseshoe. Second gear once again. Want to feel the car try to slide away onto the outside of the curb there, but downforce really starts taking effect and we're able to get on the throttle much earlier here. Head towards the kink here or the dog leg. We should be able to go full throttle through here, unlike what we could with the cup car. Indeed we do. Hard braking for the west horseshoe. Down to second gear. Blink it all the way to the outside, hit that apex on the right, float it towards the outside once again out of the west horseshoe. Use all of that curb that is all the way out there as we come up to the final corner, heading up onto the banking. Drop it down to second gear from fourth. Tiptoe, tiptoe, early shift there to deal with the transition as we go onto the banking there. Bring it all the way up towards the fence there. As we go through NASCAR 1 and 2, have you a little bit of a sound of the BMW M8? Top speed going into the bus stop here, where it's at about 166 miles an hour. Drop it down to third gear, tiptoe, hit all the curb on the left, all the curb on the right. On the exit, do exactly the same. Feet onto the throttle, pick up way early there if you hit that just right. Going through NASCAR 3 and 4 now. More twin turbo V8 goodness there out of the big BMW M8 as we cross the start finish line. See what kind of lap time we get here. A 149.101. That's about a second slower than a cup car without the secondary chicane. As we're going to head her on to myself, and we're going to do the overall race winner from last year's Rolex 24, the Wayne Taylor Racing Cadillac. And here we are once again, as we're going to come up to the tri-oval much faster this time, and Wayne Taylor Racing's defending Rolex 24 Cadillac DPI VR coming across the start finish line 198 miles an hour as we do hard braking into turn one. Second gear, feel it trying to get a little bit light on me on acceleration. Heavy acceleration through turn two, hard braking once again for the International Horseshoe. Second gear once again, we should be able to pick up the throttle much earlier, much more downforce, much more speed out of this particular machine compared to the BMW. All the way up into fifth gear as we come into the keep right now. There's the apex out of it, and we're in the West Horseshoe once again. Heartbreaking once again down into second gear in the West Horseshoe. He's onto the throttle there. Don't pick it up too early, otherwise you will be off track. Use some of that left-hand curb there if you can. And then wait for the crossroads there. Down to second gear once again as we go onto the high banks of Daytona, NASCAR 1 and 2 again. Downforce really planting the car here, so you don't really have to do too much short shifting there. The second board, about halfway between that one and the first one, we drop it down to fourth gear. Pick up the throttle way early with this particular car. Get hard on the accelerator, we're already out of the bus stop once again. Into NASCAR 3 and 4. See what kind of a lap time we can get out of this sucker. It's going to be a heck of a lot faster, I can tell you that already. Enjoying a lot more sound out of this machine. Sounds very realistic. Crossing the line, 136.560, and that was a very fun and very quick lap there. Now we're going to go ahead and hop into Global Endurance Modding's Ginetta LMP1. And here we are, we're in our final car here coming up to the Daytona Tri-Oval. Going across the start-finish line now. Top speed before we even hit the braking zone, 206 miles an hour. Hard braking as we get into turn one. Fastest car in a straight line so far, and actually can take turn one in third gear as we hit, go through turn two here. Heavy acceleration here out of this machine as we get hard on the brakes once again. International Horseshoe, second gear corner using the Le Mans aero that we got for this car here. Nicely simulated by Global Endurance Modding here as we go up to the dogleg. Should be no problem at all. Actually, I can hold that tight all the way down to the apex there, all the way through the corner. Second gear for the West Horseshoe. Pick up the throttle very early. The rear end does not get snapped around at all. Lots of downforce on the backside of the car, even in low drag spec. Hard on the brakes once again as we get ready to go into the banking once again. A little bit of a short shift there. Got ahead of myself there as we go through NASCAR 3 and 4. Just listen to the simulated AAR sound, which sounds very windy, in my opinion, but still a great job on this mod these guys have done. As we go down the back straightaway here, wait for our signboards there. There's halfway between one and two, hard braking there. Drop it down to third gear, almost pick up the throttle, and be full throttle all the way through. As we did a little bit too much braking going into the corner, not trusting the downforce on that there. So we get here in the middle of NASCAR 3 and 4. Waiting to see that edge of the banking, there it is. Flat here on the plateau, 190 as we come across the pit entry. And across the start finish line we get a 134.150. That's moving right there, ladies and gentlemen. So, for the first of the year on the Simcast. That has been the Tour Test Track. I'm Lewis Satterley. Be safe, be fast, bye for now, and eat more tacos.
Well, that was very loud and very exciting, as per usual.
That it was. It's always a fun time to do those things. It's
I wasn't not expecting the Cup card to actually be faster than the M8.
I wasn't either, in fairness, but also in fairness, we throughout that whole thing, we were doing mods from three different providers as well. See, the NASCAR one that we did, actually, you can get on a workshop. It is from the Real Master D's workshop, which don't get me started on that one. But he's done a great job with that mod. I would say from an experience side of it, I would say that the cars are probably a little bit too much like a GT car, which wouldn't surprise me if that's what they're modeled off of. Mm-hmm. And not the official Studio 397 model.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm assuming because it's R Factor 2, you had different aero kits on that. That was the Speedway Road Course one? Or what was that?
That was the Road Course setup that they had going for that one. But yeah, the
191 miles per hour.
Which I fully expected. I know for a fact a Cup car, whenever you don't have a restrictor plate on it, it can get moving.
Yeah.
It really can. And on the modern day schedule, you don't really have a lot of tracks where they can really display that on a road course aspect from a low speed corner all the way up to top speed, kind of like what you saw at Daytona. Mm-hmm. So that's really the only place you can really expect that. They did simulate it pretty good, though, that corner speeds were way down. But whenever you get on to the top speed areas and you're at nearly 30 miles an hour faster than the other GT car, it's no question on why it became faster. It was all about speed.
The M8 only did 169 miles per hour from what I saw.
Yeah, and then this one got up to what, 190?
191.
191, okay. So 22 miles an hour difference. That's a big difference.
Yeah. Then you have the catalog DPI, which is just an eargasm the entire time.
It is, and anybody who's actually never heard that car in person, what you heard with the onboard there is actually how that car sounds when you're standing trackside. Mm-hmm. But still, they did Studio 397, which is the official creators of the game and the mod. They did the Cadillac and the BMW in this particular test. They did a great job. They usually do a fantastic job with sounds as well. But they did a fantastic job, and they also get the actual notes from the car providers or the car manufacturers.
That's always good.
Yeah, so for the BMW M8, they used BMW RLL's cars. And for the Orca that they have in this and for the Cadillac, they actually went to JDC Motorsports and got all the data from them. Which is a cool... Yeah, which is pretty...
One stop you have to make.
Yeah, well, the Orca came out almost 2 years ago. Two or three years
that's right.
Yeah, and so whenever you have the official liveries on here, you get the banana boat and you got the Gainsco livery for the Orca. And then naturally, whenever you come to this one, you get the banana boat for the Cadillac and the Mustang sampling machine. Yeah. So there was that one. And then there was the Ginetta.
Which, if I remember correctly, wouldn't actually be allowed to race a Daytona under that spec.
No, actually, it's not even allowed to race a Daytona under grandfathered rule spec, if I'm not mistaken, either. Yeah, because it's not a hypercar, and actually right now, from what I understand, there's still talks to get all of the hypercar field into IMSA now.
Yeah, that and the car is 206 miles per hour.
Yeah, and actually, I know for a fact Daytona does have an insurance thing where they don't allow cars to continuously hit over 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, and you did it both laps.
I did do it both laps, so I broke Daytona's insurance policy.
Yep. They would like to see you in the race director's office.
Well, race director is not as bad as the corporate office for Daytona.
I'll take your word for it. that's still on my bucket list to get down to Daytona for an actual event one of these days.
I would highly recommend a road racing event. Mm-hmm. I really would, because you can explore a lot more, and it's a lot more open as well. You can get more access to drivers without having to pay an exorbitant amount to get down there.
Yeah.
So it's usually one ticket price, and you can just about go anywhere. When COVID is lifted, obviously, because right now, because COVID restriction, nobody's allowed to go into garage areas or anything right now. Yeah. So it's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Yep. Safety is important.
It is. Eat more tacos.
Anyway, so I think this would be considered a successful first episode of the American version of the Simcast show.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So we are literally seconds away from Tim cutting us off. So from all of us here, be safe, wash your hands, wear your masks, and bye for now.
Eat more tacos.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.